Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host, Steve Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Greetings, Bark Radio listeners. Ooh, ooh, ooh. It's social media stuff today, huh, Terry?
It is. We've got John Dunn from Best Friends.
Ooh.
Welcome, John.
Hi, everyone. You guys, you too, everyone out there in radio listening land.
All right, and from that we go straight into it.
John, for the folks that are new to Bark Radio, John's sort of one of our favorites. He's a semi-regular, and we usually focus on different areas of social media for animal rescue. And today what we were thinking we'd talk about is a little bit how smaller rescue groups can utilize some of the social media aspects to help increase the amount of dogs, cats, animals that they're placing. So, John, with that, I'm going to hand that over, and let's rock and roll this interview.
Sure. I've always said that social media is really the great equalizer. You know, even as little as 5 or 6 or 7 years ago, to have a good web presence as an organization or even a business, and certainly as a nonprofit, to raise money through the internet, you know, it wasn't necessarily cheap. There weren't the abundance of free tools that are that exist today. But again, it's sort of like social media is this great equalizer, right? Because whether you're Best Friends at our size or, you know, very small foster organization in a small town, you know, as long as you have an internet connection, you know, the majority of these tools are free. So, you know, it doesn't take really anything, and it certainly doesn't take a genius to sign up for a Facebook account. I did it, so anyone can do it. And then, you know, there are a lot of tools out there, and even just starting with some of the basic ones that I think, you know, most people would know today is an application through Facebook called Causes, and it's been around a long time, almost as long as Facebook, and this is an independent company, and they run this tool called Causes, and anyone can go in, whether you're a nonprofit or just passionate about an issue. And you can create a cause and say to all of your friends, hey, everyone, I just created a cause around puppy mills, and it's called Say No to Puppy Mills. And then all of your friends sign up. They can designate a charity, a 501c3 charity, to receive funds if there are any, you know, if there are funds raised. You know, you can do petition work and really sort of generate, you know, to use a Seth Godin term, which you won't often hear me do, but you can sort of create a tribe around this particular issue of people that are passionate about it. And again, as a nonprofit, you know, we can get in as Best Friends or, again, that small rescue and say, this is an issue that we're working on. This is what we're doing, and it's very easy to kind of go in and say, this is what we're working on, and this is what happened over the weekend, and really update people on what's happening, which is very important for a nonprofit. In terms of that storytelling and keeping people involved in the mission and what's going on with particular programs. And then you can ask people to raise money. There's some great functionality within Causes, like birthday wishes. So my birthday is coming up. I can say, you know, I really love Best Friends, or I really love Mom and Pop Cat Rescue in Nashville, Tennessee. And I can designate my birthday and then ask all of my friends, like, hey, you know, I'm turning 40. I don't need any of this stuff. I've got everything I need. But I really love Mom and Pop Cat Rescue. Won't you give to them on behalf of my birthday? So there's some really effective tools. And, you know, unfortunately, I mean, there are a lot of great nonprofits doing this in really great ways. But, you know, sometimes there are a lot of nonprofits that just sort of forget to ask sometimes. You know, these tools exist, and we got a lot of supporters, and we're really busy. But, you know, sometimes just simply asking your supporters is a really big part of that. But Causes is a really great tool and a great place for a lot of nonprofits to start within Facebook.
I love that, and honestly, I'd forgotten about it, so I'm really glad you started with that, John. And really, all this stuff requires is somebody who is willing to revisit it on a regular basis and put up-to-date posts on it, correct?
Right. I mean, and that's one of the, I think, another really difficult thing for a lot of nonprofits, especially smaller nonprofits. And as you, we've talked before about my involvement with the Indian Wildlife Charity. You know, these guys are so mission-focused, which is great. I mean, this is what you want, right, where we're taking on an issue and we're just in the field and this is what we're doing, but so mission-focused that we're actually forgetting to say, hey, this is what we're doing, and that, hey, this is what we're doing, that's how we generate interest in our cause, and then we can turn people into donors that are also passionate about that issue. And, you know, Cause is funny you say that you sort of forgot about it. I think a lot of people have, and it's still a great tool. It's still a great vehicle for nonprofits, but it just does take a little bit of time to say, you know, this is what happened over the weekend with our big cat rescue, and can you give today? It's that sort of capital investment. And I know it's very difficult sometimes for smaller nonprofits to believe they have the resources to do it, but that it's sort of that chicken egg cart horse kind of thing where you've sort of got to do it so you have the resources. You know, you can actually build more and then have more resources. So, you know, any nonprofit that feels like they don't have time, I kind of got to say you got to make time.
And tell me this, John, how important on those cause places in Facebook are images, pictures of what's going on right now within that rescue?
Hugely important. You know, the Internet, again, I mean, even 5 or 6 years ago, the ability and the knowledge it took to sort of tell your story online was quite a bit harder than it is today, especially where we are in technology with smartphones and the ability to upload photos on the fly. You know, when I go to conferences, a lot of they're sort of geared towards nonprofits and technology. You know, I hear a lot of the same themes about storytelling. And I kind of sit through these panels and I think, you know, I work for an organization, I'm blessed to work for an organization that is so good at storytelling, which is Best Friends. I'm not sure there's anyone that can take an animal that's been abused or come from a situation and sort of give that animal's perspective and then also talk about how we've made that animal's life better than Best Friends. I just don't know anyone that can do that. And it does take some skill to be able to do it that way. But again, if you look at what we do online, we are using photos. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than an image of an animal that's been saved, right? Or, you know, if you're out at an adoption event, taking a photo of that adoption event. For people that aren't able to come out to your events or, you know, your rescues or, you know, you're pulling 100 animals from a hoarding situation, you know, I'm not sure that I would advocate you putting up gruesome, terrible photos, but certainly telling the story of what your rescue is doing and how you're doing it, that's the kind of thing that is really going to pull in someone and say, you know what, these people are doing good work. You know, written word is great, but photos are very powerful, and video even better.
Well, in the image that just hit me when you were talking about this, and I'm betting it was a Best Friends image. It was where folks had gone in to a place where they had hoarded dogs, and there was an image of one of the rescuers with probably a 50, 60-pound dog in his arms carrying that dog out and ultimately to safety and to a new life, and that was so powerful. I remember it.
Yeah, and think about, not to sort of bring tragedies into this, especially on a day where we're sort of dealing with tragedy, but if you think about tragedies over time, you know, there are images from each of those things. Like if you remember that image from Oklahoma City, right, and, mm-hmm. you know, 9/11, like those images are really powerful. And any animal rescue today that's involved in any kind of work, I mean, it doesn't have to be a sort of tragic hoarding, you know, animal abuse type case, anything that you do, the right image can be incredibly powerful. And again, for someone that maybe is aware of you but is not really quite sure what you do, or, you know, if we look at a donor and a supporter on kind of a ladder of engagement, you know, the bottom rung, maybe they sort of know about you and they've heard about you and they think, hey, they do good work. You know, what you're really wanting to do, right, is move them up that ladder and say, okay, how can we get this person more involved, not just on a financial level, but also maybe on a volunteerism level or whatever that may be. And to do that, you're going to have to tell that story and help that person understand what their $10 means, what their 5 hours on a Saturday would mean. And again, written word can do that, but photos and even video. I mean, it's amazing actually how little sometimes nonprofits and animal nonprofits. I'm the envy of all my nonprofit peers that work in all these different areas, like my friend of the Red Cross or my friend of the American Cancer Society, because they have a very different story to tell that isn't nearly as powerful through photos and video as what we have in animal welfare. We have cute cats. I mean, how else to say that? We have cute dogs. You know, people respond to those things really well. And if we're not using those things and taking those photos and getting that video out there, and the barrier to entry to video as well, you guys, it's nothing today. You know, again, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, a video was like, it was a thing. You know, you're doing Handycam, and the editing software is very expensive and difficult to do. But in today's very fast-paced world, you know, for $100, under $100 today, you can buy a great, you know, camera that will fit in the palm of your hand, has editing software built in that's very easy to use, and even a 20 to 30 second video, even unedited, of the right moment can mean an awful lot for that story that you're trying to tell.
And I think that's key for folks to remember. You don't need to have a 2-minute video. You know, you can have 10 seconds, 15 seconds that just will make people go, wow.
Right. Our videos. Right. Our videos are, we've got a great video department. Again, blessed and best friends with our size. We're able to do some of these kind of things. And our videos are great. I mean, we have some really great 2, 3, 4, 5. Heck, we even have some 10-minute videos that are really great. But they're for already, I believe, the supporter. I mean, only someone that loves us and has been to the sanctuary and has a really deep connection is going to sit through a 10-minute video. But how we pull new people in, we've got a video out there that's got about 500,000 views, thereabouts. It's not of any of our people. It's not, you know, some highly edited, you know, with lower third graphic video of some program. It's like a 1-minute, 20-second video of a litter of pit bull puppies that we had.
There you go.
You know, just cute as all get out, you know, and there's not really much to it. But, again, using YouTube, we're able to put some overlays on the video explaining to people how they can join us and help us and how they can adopt from us. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff. It's not, you know, it almost takes no thought, and that's actually great. It doesn't take any thought. Just get out there and take some cute video, and you can get 500,000 views. You don't have to be best friends. Anyone can get a million views on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not easy, but it's not difficult either.
And so it's just creating that YouTube channel for your organization, another free
right.
tool.
Yeah, and in fact, you can go further than that. I believe it's google.com/nonprofits. Google, who owns YouTube, has a really great nonprofit program, and they give back in a lot of ways. And through YouTube, you get some advanced branding capabilities for your channel, so you can put images and some different links. So when people connect with you, they can kind of link off YouTube and find you better. Again, you can do these YouTube, you know, these video overlays that could link out to a donate page. So if you've got a really great video that's really heart-wrenching and someone's all connected and like ready to go to action for you, here pops this overlay. Click here to donate now. And what a great way to kind of immediately pull people in. And then even on the Google side, things like free advertising. There's a lot of things Google does for nonprofits, so anyone should take advantage of that. Again, it's google.com/nonprofits. And I believe the only requirement is a 501c3. There is an application process, but I think they're pretty open about sort of who can get in. You just need to be a 501c3.
That's cool. I had no idea they did that.
Yeah, I mean, we get if you, and this is the same for everyone, but if you get in that program, the Google AdWords, which is the paid search results you would see on a Google search, we get $10,000 a month in free paid search through Google.
No way. That's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, right? and look, this is another level. I mean, this is it's a big program to manage. There needs to be some understanding about search engine marketing and some other things about how to really do ads. And you got to have a good website that's kind of set up for it. So it's a bit of a more advanced level. But these are the kind of things that, you know, nonprofits really aren't maybe taking advantage of like they could be.
So I'm curious because on search engine marketing stuff, there's a lot of folks that claim to do it. And I'm wondering, does Best Friends have people on staff that are specialists in that, or they use a service? Because I know, you know, from the stuff I've looked into, some of the folks claiming to be SEO engineers or experts aren't necessarily really experts.
Yeah, there's a lot of snake oil in marketing, I think, just like a lot of things in life. I've always said this, like, if I speak at a conference or don't call me an expert. Like, I actually don't believe there is such a thing. We're all learning. I mean, this stuff changes every day. I mean, Facebook just launched new changes to the fan page setup. And so, I mean, how could you be an expert? I mean, you can be on top of it, and that's great. You can feel like you know your stuff. But, I mean, you're right. There are a lot of people, I think, who are maybe a little bit deceptive. And, you know, search engine marketing, it really is its own thing. I know a little bit about it. We've got some other people on staff that know a little bit about it. I would never profess that Best Friends is the best within the search engine optimization realm. We're trying to get better, and we're trying to make inroads there. You know, and it can be kind of a difficult thing to do. You know, I mean, you want to talk about changes, Google changes every other day, because what they don't want is people, you know, gaming that system so that their users that come to them for search aren't finding what they're looking for. So it is kind of a whole thing. Now, you know, I know another organization, another animal organization, a large organization, they also have the Google grant. They do pay a firm to do it. They also put in some extra money advertising into it. And what they only hope for out of that program is that they'll break even. So if the cost is this and the cost of the company is this, they just want it to match. Because what they're also hoping for is that, you know, once they can make some new contacts there, that they're growing. So even if, you know, at the end of the year, that really balances out, it's the longer-lasting relationship that then those folks then take on those people and develop them further, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, a Google grant is not going to be the be-all, end-all to your organization, and it's not going to raise you $10 million. But if you've got the time and a little bit of the expertise, it's definitely worth looking into.
There's so much. And we just have to talk to you often, John, because most days I think we know quite some about the Internet, and then we talk to you, and I realize I know nothing again.
Well, I don't know anything. I'm telling you. If you guys want real experts, I can find them for you. I'm a faker. I'm a total faker. I mean, I don't know if I told you guys this. I started Best Friends. I was in campaigns, and I was terrible at it, right? So Best Friend says, hey, we've got to find someone to do social media. We're not really doing anything with this. It was about 3.5 years ago. And my boss at the time said, well, you know, John Dunn, he already wastes all of his day on Facebook. Let's just give him the job. So in that time period, I've sort of gone from a guy who was just kind of casually involved in social media and liked keeping up with his friends from high school to really kind of owning this as my position. And I've learned a lot in that time, but that's what I mean about the expert thing. You know, it's not someone that has been in traditional marketing for 20 years doesn't make them a social media expert today. This is new for everyone. So, and that's great. Again, it's a great equalizer. You don't have to be an expert. It just takes a little bit of time. Google is your friend. If you don't know how to do something, get out and Google it. That's the easiest way to do it. That's how I learned. You know, if I was unsure about how something worked, you know, there are so many blogs and resources and help files and, you know, just a simple Google search and you'll find hundreds, if not thousands, of blogs and people explaining how to do something. So you don't have to be you know, some traditional marketing expert. You just have to be willing to learn.
So, John, if you could synopsize for our listeners, let's say you are a small rescue. What are the three top things you should be on the Internet, social media-wise? You should be on Facebook. Is that number one?
Yeah, it's definitely number one. It's a funny transition, right? Like 3 or 4 years ago, I probably would have told you MySpace for an animal organization. And you know, I would even go as far to say that you should do some research in your geographic area to find out where people were, because it used to be that there were these sort of MySpace holdouts in certain parts of the country were really heavy MySpace versus, you know, but now we're at 600 million users on Facebook. There's no doubt that you should be on Facebook.
Okay, what do you do?
You know, that's a really good question. Possibly YouTube. But again, Facebook has really great video interface. I don't know that I would even go that far. I think a lot of it depends on who you are, what your size is, what your capabilities are. You know, there are so many shiny new toys that come along every other day. The latest and greatest social networking site, the latest and greatest tracking and, you know, messaging tool and this and that. What I tell people at conferences, look, if your budget's $100,000, you don't need to be on 10 sites because you can't manage 10 sites. We can't manage 10 sites. So if you're going to do one, do Facebook and do it really well. You know, maybe it's not Facebook, maybe it's Twitter. You know, maybe you're an organization that's on the run and your executive director is out running and, you know, trapping feral cats all day and, you know, doing rescues. Well, you know, maybe Twitter is a better avenue for you. You know, that sort of fast pace. I can do it from text. I can upload photos. It can be an either or. It doesn't have to be all of the above.
Cool. And then I think all the possibilities through Google is another thing to really keep in mind from what you've told us.
For sure. And again, you know, if you're going to do the YouTube, you're going to go down that route. And if you're an organization that really is, you know, does video and does it well, you know, get in that nonprofit partner program with YouTube. You just can't not do it.
Cool. Well, John, thanks for joining us today. We want to get a plug-in for Best Friends, so give them the website for anybody who doesn't know who you guys are.
Sure, bestfriends.org.
All right, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the summer or fall of this year. We'll connect again.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it, and I guess in the context of this conversation, maybe I should give facebook.com/bestfriendsanimalsociety.
Excellent.
Good call.
Good job, John. Later.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.